We are in the book of Exodus, chapter 14. We are going to read from the verse 1.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so.
Okay, here we see children of God is already traveling, and now they are camping. God is saying to Moses, tell the children of God, go a little bit further, and he says, wait to rest. He says, between Migdol and the sea, over against that Baal Zephon. And he says, go there and camp there. And so they thought, very good idea. The sea is in front of you, and the breeze is coming, and it's a good place to rest. Israeli people never thought in their life that the Egyptian people are going to follow them, because the Egyptians' firstborn was dead, and now they might be weeping and crying. So they thought, they are not coming and following us. But God said to Moses, what I'm going to do, I'm going to make the Pharaoh's heart harden again, and he will think in his heart that the children of Israel, they are camping in such a place, they have nowhere to go. Sea in front of them, and maybe other side mountains, and so they will not be able to run anywhere, and they are tangled in that place. And so this is a good time to go and follow them. And they were thinking, I'm talking about the Pharaoh and his army, this is a good chance to defeat the Israeli people. And so Moses didn't say anything to the children of Israel what the Pharaoh is going to do. Moses kept it in his heart. So let's see the verse 4.
And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people, and they said, Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot, and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots, and all the chariots of Egypt, and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand.
Now, you can see Pharaoh and his armies, they got the same idea. Why we allow these people to go from this land? Let's go and attack them and punish them. And that's what their idea was. And here the word of God says, Pharaoh took his army with the chariots, 600 of chosen chariots, and all the chariots of Egypt, and the captains over every one of them. Can you imagine now 600 chariots and all the warriors, and now they are coming and following the Israeli people. The Pharaoh has to be fooled. Why? Because he knows God destroyed his firstborn. And it's not too many days now, maybe a few days ago. And still he is thinking he can go and destroy the children of Israel, not thinking God is in their side. Let's read the verse 9.
But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them in camping by the sea, beside Pihahiroth, before Baal Zephon.
Now, he said, he took the chariots and he followed the children of Israel, and exactly he knew the area where the sea is and where the Baal Zephon is. And so he said, we are going to go and attack them. So he is almost coming near them. Verse 10.
And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord.
Now you can see 600 chariots, they are coming, so you can see the noise of the chariots, and they might have seen, what this noise, let's see, and the noise and the dust going up, and they can see the Pharaoh and his army is following. So now they are so afraid and they are crying to God, not only crying to God, but see, they are complaining to Moses. Verse 11.
And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt?
They are crying to Moses, they are crying to God, and what is their complaint? Their complaint is this, they said, don't you know there are so many burial grounds in Egypt? We would have been dead and buried with a dignified way. And why you are bringing us in this wilderness to kill us? And so they are thinking about dying. This is what the problem is. When we have problem, first thing people think about what? Dying. When they think they get sickness or any pain, any suffering, they think, I'm going to die. Death is the worst fear people have. And so these people, they are in a jungle. This is not sickness or disease, but they are afraid of the enemy. What the word of God says? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Please read.
For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
What God has not given us? He has not given us the fear. The fear comes from the enemy. God has given us power, love, and sound mind. This Israeli people supposed to say, Moses, we can defeat these people. Now we are more than them. There are 600. These people over 6 million. And so they could defeat these people easily, and God is with them, but they are afraid that they are going to die. And that's what the fear is. When you have a problem, you are not trusting in God that God is able to give us victory. Now, we just heard on the radio and television, the hurricane and this problem is coming, and they are describing it is a worst kind, and already killed 40 people, and this is a very vicious one coming to Northeast Virginia and all. And Pennsylvania, New York, and Delaware, and everywhere is coming, and they are thinking it's a very dangerous thing coming to us, and many people will die, or many people will have problem. If we start having fear in our heart before the hurricane comes, we might die. Just the fear. So we don't have to worry. We just pray. I already prayed and say, Lord, let that storm go to the sea instead of going left. Let's let it go right. Why he has to take a turn? Go straight. So the point I'm making, when they saw the army coming and the dust and the sound, they got afraid and they start thinking about dying. They're thinking that this Pharaoh's army will kill us. We should not be worried about dying, because our death is conquered by Jesus Christ, and we are going to live for Christ, and so we don't have to be afraid of dying. Jesus Christ already took our death penalty on the cross. Exodus chapter 14, verse 12.
Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness.
Again they are saying, we were slaves in Egypt, we were happy, and when you came to deliver us, we said, don't do anything, let us live in Egypt, we can be slaves, and we are happy, even though they were punished, and they had a lot of problem, but they said, we were happy, now why did you bring us in the wilderness to die in this wilderness? So they have no vision. The word of God says, without the vision, without the knowledge of God, people perish. So we should know God did not call us to kill us. God has called us to live for Him and for His glory. Any sickness, any disease, any problem, any hurricane, anything comes, we have to think God is going to take care of us because we are going to live for Him and for His glory.
And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you this day. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever.
Now Moses is telling to children of Israel, fear not. Because the fear came in their heart, and that's why they were complaining. Jesus Christ said to His disciple, fear not. And many times the word of God says, fear not. Fear is opposite faith. Once you have fear, you cannot have a sound mind. And when you don't have sound mind, you make mistakes. You will think wrong because your mind is bombarded with a fear. First of all, He says, fear not. And then He says, what God is going to do, God is going to show His salvation. And this salvation is greater than before. Now, the Israeli people were saved by the sign of the blood. He says, keep the blood sign on the doorpost and top and both sides. And the death angel will come and pass over. And that was the sign of the God is going to save them. They are not going to die. Why God is saying here, God is going to show you His salvation. Today you are going to see these Egyptian enemies following you. You will never see them again, and they are going to be killed. Now, when you read this, what kind of great salvation He's talking about? If you read in the Mark chapter 16, start reading from verse 15.
And He said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved.
Now, first of all, He says, give the gospel to everyone, and when they believe and baptize, they will be saved. Now, some people are confused. Does baptism save people? If the people do not take baptism, do you think they will be doomed? Here the word of God is saying, if you read Acts chapter 16, verse 31, when that jailer said, what should I do to get saved? What Paul said to him, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved and your household. Please read.
And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house.
Now, this is the promise. If you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will be saved and your household. Now, this man in the middle of the night, he was going to kill himself. Paul said, don't harm yourself. And then he says, what should I do to get saved? He says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Now, you go to the Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. There also we read, you have to believe.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Now here it says you have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, confess your sins or receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you shall be saved. Verse 10 also.
For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Now he says, if you believe Jesus Christ in your heart, then you have to tell somebody that I receive Jesus Christ in my heart, and I believe Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. That is a witness. People just believe and they do not have witness. Mark chapter 16, verse 16, we just read, it says, believe and be baptized, and then you shall be saved. We believe that Paul talked to this jailer, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. Then what happened if you read in the same chapter, that same night, the jailer took Paul to his house, and then Paul preached to his whole house, and then together, all of these people were baptized. So the point I'm making, some people say, if I believe, that's enough. If you believe, then believe the full gospel. We do not believe the half gospel. There are people believe Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior, but they don't want to follow him. They don't want to any witness. Here it says, if you believe in your heart, then you confess with your mouth and tell somebody, I'm saved. Now here, go back to the book of Exodus. Book of Exodus, when we seeing this, he says, you are going to see the salvation of God, and the Egyptian people you are seeing, you will not see them anymore. So what happens? Once you are a believer, believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, receive Jesus Christ into your heart, now Jesus lives in you. But still the enemy is trying to harass you. Go to the first John chapter 4, verse 4. It says the enemy is in front of you or outside of you, but you have the greater one living in you, so you have more power than the enemy.
Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Now, if you are a believer, the enemy is outside trying to destroy you, but he says if you are a believer, Christ lives in you, and then you have power to resist the enemy. This is the Egyptian enemy following you. Until where? Until you be baptized. Now this following Pharaoh's and the children of Israel coming out of the sea, that represent the water baptism. Let's go back to, you are in a book of Exodus chapter 14 and start reading from verse 14.
The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them.
Okay, now here we saw, last chapter if you remember, God told them there will be pillar of cloud in front of you, and you follow the cloud. In the night time, there will be pillar of fire, and you follow the pillar of fire. But now he says that pillar of fire or the pillar of cloud removed from the front and put it in between Israeli people and Egyptian. Now the Egyptian people are coming and they are very close. Israeli people are trapped. But the God says to Moses, don't cry to me. Let the people go forward. Lift up your hand and show the rod to this sea, and the sea will divide and you go through. An enemy is following and they are going through the water. Let's read the words to it.
And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the nights. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left.
Now see what happened here. When the enemy is coming with a flood, like a chariots and military power and everything. But here what happened? He says he put the pillar of fire in the night time. So, and even this Israeli people see the light, and they are seeing darkness because the cloud making darker, and they cannot see any light, and so they are frustrated. But the children of Israel, they have light, and they are going forward, and the sea is already divided like a wall left and right, and this is they are walking on the dry ground. Can you imagine? Not only God divide the sea, but he dry the ground. So if they are walking without a slipper or walking with a slipper, they will not slip and fall. They will be walking on the dry ground and they will be safe. So now they are going. The sea was divided. You can imagine it was not divided by 2 feet or 3 feet. It might be divided by hundreds of feet, because 6 million people are going. So they have to have a big, big, giant road. And then the water is like a wall. This water like going left and right, and the clouds up, the water up there, they are going through the water. Moses already told these people, you are not going to see this Egyptian anymore. So now they are going through this water, and water is all around. That water was representing like a water baptism. If you go to the 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21.
The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Now, here he is giving an example of the Old Testament in the time of Noah. Now, in the Noah's time, the ark was in the water. Water was pouring from the top. Bottom is the water. All side is the water. So they were like immersed in the water. And that water was like a symbolic as a water baptism. And here also we see this water also is symbolic to water baptism. Because in the olden days, there was no baptism given to anyone. Only baptism was given to priests to do the service. But here we see in the New Testament, each and every person who believes Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they have to be baptized. Here it says, if you take the baptism, you are not taking baptism to take the filth away, but you are making a new good conscience towards God. Go to this 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and start reading from verse 2.
And all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea.
Okay. They're all baptized in Moses in the cloud and sea. So now you see the Old Testament, like a time of Noah, that was a symbolic to water baptism. And this coming out of the sea is symbolic of the water baptism. So what water baptism does, it gives you power over the enemy's forces. Moses said, you seeing this enemy, you will not see this enemy anymore. What does it mean? That enemy will be defeated. So go to the Romans chapter 6 and start reading from verse 2. Romans chapter 6 and starting from verse 2.
God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life.
See what he is trying to say? Once you are born again, we cannot live in sin. But we should be baptized, and when we baptize, we are buried with Christ, and when we come out of the water, we are coming out of the water as the sign of resurrection. So Jesus Christ is risen, and we are going to rise. So this is symbolic. Let's keep on reading a few verses.
For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin.
See, this is what the baptism is all about. When you take a baptism, you are dying with Christ, buried with Christ, and when you come out of the water with the hope of resurrection, that means Egyptian sin is buried in the sea. And Galatians chapter 3 verse 27, once you are baptized or believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are putting on Christ. So the whole world can see you are a born again child of God.
For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ.
See, put on Christ means you are wearing Christ, so you are showing to other people that I am born again. I am a child of God. So here the word of God is saying, you see this Egyptian today, but you are not going to see them again, because they are going to trap, they are going to die like an old man and buried, but we will come out victoriously, and that's the sign of water baptism. Let's go back to the book of Exodus chapter 14 and start reading from read 19 and 20.
And the angel of God which went before the camp of Israel removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them. But it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the nights. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians.
Now see what happened? Egyptians were so foolish. They said, well, if these people are going in a dry land and going through the sea, we can do the same thing. And they thought they have the chariots, so they can go faster. So what happened? God took their wheel of chariots, so the wheels are flying away. So once the wheel is flying, then the horses, they have to drag. Without the wheel, they are not going to go fast. And so many horses start dying, so many people start dying, and they start falling, and they were not able to go and catch up with the children of Israel. And pretty soon, they are going to be killed and drowned. Let's read verse 26.
And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea.
See, the children of Israel, they were saved, they went to the shore. Now, God says, turn around and tell the sea to be normal again. And it came with a rushing mighty flood. And all the chariots and the horses and the horsemen, got buried. Can you imagine the water was like hundreds of feet up, and now they are in the bottom of the sea, and when that water covers, even though you have expert swimming person, you will be not able to hold the breath to go miles away from the bottom of the sea to top of the sea to be alive. And the horses also, all of the horsemen, all of the horses, all of the armies, they drowned in the sea. And so God destroyed every one of them. God said to Moses, tell these children of Israel, you will never see this Egyptian again. And God kept his word, and all the enemies were destroyed. So we don't have to be afraid of enemy. We believe that once you are born again, child of God, enemy can come like a flood. But once we are belong to God, enemy has no power over us. See what the word of God says. He took the angels going forward and put the angels behind the children of Israel. So the angels were guarding the children of Israel. Book of Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14, it says, once you are born again, child of God, what God does? He keeps the angels to protect you, means to serve you, to minister to you. So when you're driving, when you're sleeping, the enemy comes, enemy will see somebody standing guarding your house, or they will be afraid and they won't be able to come in. Because God keeps watch over us. If the God is for us, then who can be against us? We have to believe if God is with us, so we are majority. The whole world goes the other way, but if you have God, no one has power to do any wrong. But if you are in fault, if you are in sin, then you have no power to defeat the enemy. If you are living for God, God will fight for you. That's what the angels are given to the born again people. Did you read that? Hebrews 1, if you don't remember the verse, end of it, last verse.
Are they not all ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?
Heirs of salvation means the people who receive the salvation, those people are protected by God. Angels are sent. As soon as the person gets saved, the word of God says angels rejoice in heaven. One soul gets saved on earth, angels rejoice in heaven. And so the word of God says, as soon as the angels start rejoicing, some of the angels comes down to protect you. So millions of people getting saved every day, and millions of angels are sent to protect them. So we have to tell people, if you are living in fear, if you are living in anxiety, if you are living in doubt, why don't you get saved? Why don't you believe Jesus Christ? Then the angel will come and protect you. And so we don't have to be afraid of any enemy. Let's go back to the book of Exodus chapter 14. We already read, but you can read 28, 29.
And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them.
I says 29. We want to read 27? Go ahead.
And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left.
The word of God says not a single one was left. They had the chariots. They already, some of them turn around and want to go. But God allowed them to go inside middle of the sea. So not a single one warrior was able to run away or get escaped from the wrath of God. And God said, this is what I'm going to do. But the children of Israel, they said they walk over the dry land. Can you imagine? Our God can divide the sea and dry the land, and these people are walking on the dry land. So sometimes if you tell somebody God is going to divide the sea and the dry land will be there, nobody will believe. But God did it. And there are scientists and other people say, oh, it cannot happen. But our God is able to do anything. He can stop the sun. He can stop the rain. He can bring the flood. He can remove the flood. He can bring the water. He can divide the water. Our God has a power over everything. And so we have to take a stand sometimes and tell the waters, tell the flood, go, stay away. One time we were living in one area and there was a very low area and water was coming, houses were flying, and so many people were getting hurt. And I went out and saw the water coming towards house, and so I took a one stick and made the line on this wet ground, and I said, water, in the name of Jesus, stop, don't come this way. When I did that, water did not move an inch from that area to our house. And so it works. God has given us power over this nature also. And Jesus Christ says, whatever the miracle I did, you will do also, and you will do greater. I prayed for rain. Rain came. I stopped for the rain. Rain stopped. One time we were going to zoo, and pouring rain was coming, and while we're getting out of the house, and children were small, said, Daddy, this is not a good day to go to zoo. We want to go to zoo, but it's pouring rain. What are we going to do? I said, well, let's go. When we park the car there, rain will stop. So we went to the zoo parking lot, and we turned the engine off, and rain stopped. Sunshine came, and we had the wonderful day, cool day, and we finished everything. And then we say, let's go home. And we'll say, as soon as we go home, rain is coming. And so we came home, parked the car in our driveway, and I said, run inside, rain is going to come, and rain came. So see how God does? He can stop the rain, He can stop the wind, and God can protect us. Now this is our test. This tomorrow or day after tomorrow, very bad weather is coming to Philadelphia. Just think, each and every believer stand in there and say, I command you this, move away from my house, move away from our church and our believers, and everybody start praying. You will be surprised. God will do it. God did it for these people. He can do it for us also. Let's go and finish this chapter. Verse 30 and 31.
Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore.
Now he said, this is the way God destroyed the Egyptian people, and God saved the children of Israel from their hand. You remember what Moses said? Behold, God is going to do great salvation. He saved them by the blood, and then he saved them by the baptism. And so the salvation is twofold. Once you are born again, don't say, I don't need a baptism, because Jesus said, believe and be baptized and you will be saved. So baptism is part of salvation. And so these people were saved by the blood, and now they're saved by the baptism. Verse 31.
And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses.
Now see what happened? Before that they said, Moses, why did you bring us in the wilderness? Don't you think there are better burial ground in Egypt? And we were happy there, we were slaves there, but we didn't want to come, and you forced us to come, and now we are dying in this wilderness. And they were against Moses, they were against God. But the word of God says, when they saw the Egyptians were killed, they were saved, and they were not harmed. So now the word of God says, when they saw everything, they said, now we believe in God, also we are believing the servant of God, Moses. There are people, sometimes they believe in God, but they don't believe in the man of God. So when the man of God is leading the children of God, if they don't trust in the man of God, they don't have respect in the man of God, they will be doing too much harm to the servant of God. So here the word of God is saying, they believe God and they also believed Moses, because they thought he is the servant of God and he protected us and bought us out. Now some people want to see some miracle to believe, but some people believe before they can see the miracle. We have example in front of us. Enemy can come to destroy you, but when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, be baptized. That means when you get baptism, the old Adam, old sin, old Egyptian army will be defeated and they will be destroyed. And when you come out of the water, you will be coming out as the hope of resurrection, as the new creation that Jesus Christ lives in you. So that is the symbolic when they went through the water, that was a baptism. And so the point I'm making, believers should be believing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they should be baptized, they should be filled with the Holy Spirit, and they should be living a clean and holy life. Once we live for Christ, then we can defeat the enemy. You remember that Shiva's children, they saw Paul casting out the devil. They say, oh, this is easy. We can just say in the name of Jesus and devil will go, because they saw Paul was doing it. So they start, not one, seven sons all together team up to destroy the devil. That is in Book of Acts chapter 19. We don't have time to read. So they came and say, in the name of Jesus, devil, get out of this person. What the devil said, I know Jesus, I know Paul, who are you? And the devil starts chasing on those people, and they have to run naked. So the point I'm making, if you are not born again child of God, you cannot fight with the enemy. So let's pray. You have to give your heart to Jesus, be saved, be baptized, be filled with the Holy Spirit, live a clean and holy life, and then we can defeat the enemy. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace. You have called us with a definite high calling and no turning back. Even the enemy behind us and the sea before us, sea represent the world and the worldly people. But we can overcome. We can defeat the enemy and be overcomers. Your word says we are more than a conqueror. Jesus Christ already conquered the enemy. And he said, I defeated the enemy. I did signs and wonders and miracles. You do also, and you do greater. And so we are more than a conqueror because of Jesus Christ. Give us grace to follow Christ. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.